You're listening to Mornings with Eric and Bridget right here on Moody Radio 89.3.
Well, nothing like a crisis to bring us to our knees in prayer, whether it's a personal, a national, a global crisis. We've kind of lived through all of those here in the year 2020. That's why we thought it was important to talk with Daniel Henderson. He's author of How to Pray in a Crisis, a four-step guide to renewal. Daniel, thanks so much for being here and joining us on 89.3.
Thank you so much. Good to be in conversation with you today.
Yeah, as we were talking about how do we start this conversation, we thought, well, maybe there was a point that you had in your life that brought you to crisis. I mean, we can each kind of look at those in our life and even as a nation at this point. But, you know, what was it that drove you to these points that you have in your book and this need to pray during a time of crisis?
Yeah, the one that comes to mind, and I referred to it briefly in the book, was a time when as a young pastor, I inherited a very, very difficult church on the heels of a moral failure, financial problems, lawsuits, and all of that. And, you know, the old adage is hurting people hurt others, and we absorbed a pile of hurt. And I remember we had gone through some tough times. We were ready to leave the ministry. We were at a counseling center for marital couples. And I was honestly wallowing in self-pity, you know, the poor little me syndrome. And, you know, many of us in crisis, we're just trying to figure out how we can survive. But God is wanting to turn our eyes to Jesus so that we can thrive. And that's what happened. In all my anger and bitterness, you know, God gave me a vision of Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I realized that this was an opportunity for me not to just wallow in my pain, but to identify with Christ and to reengage in his mission of grace and forgiveness. And it was a turning point in my life. And I think that's probably the kind of lesson all of us need to learn when we're in the midst of a crisis.
And we've all been there, I think, in this year. And you've created this four-step guide in this short resource, kind of shortened to the point, How to Pray in a Crisis. You say step one is to decide to let God birth fresh conviction. Tell me about this step.
Yeah, again, the conviction that God is in control, the conviction that he has left me here for a purpose, and the conviction that instead of looking for a way out, you know, I need to look for a way up and a way forward to really be on mission with the Lord. You know, if we think about a national crisis, you realize there's millions of others who don't have hope. They don't have Jesus, you know, and they're trying to navigate this without any spiritual resource like we have in the Lord. And so a conviction that God has me on mission in the midst of the crisis.
Part of the problem with crisis is it just beats us up and we become exhausted in it. And as we try to pray our way through that, the problem is we're just too tired. We can't even do it. And that's why community is so important, isn't it?
It really is. I think one of the things that, you know, that the enemy is trying to do is to isolate us and discourage us. And we know that that can happen. And we've got to be really intentional about connecting with others because we so need to be a part of the body of Christ. And we just can't get isolated from one another. And praying in community is such a vital way to learn how to pray, obviously.
Yeah, but just even our own prayer life, whether we're in community or whether it's in our own personal prayer closet, we talk a lot about it. But so many of us, okay, once we kind of start, okay, where do I begin? How do I pray? I don't want to just give God a grocery list of complaints. So how do we feel, I guess, competent in our prayer life?
Yeah, thanks, Bridget. You hit my hot button here. So, you know, the bottom line of what we do when we coach pastors and help churches is to remember that when Jesus gave the model prayer, obviously in Matthew 6, and then later again, similar in Luke 11, when the disciples said, teach us to pray, he said, pray this way. And in the original language, it's what we call a present imperative. It's not a suggestion. It literally means Jesus is saying, you must learn to pray like this. And the bottom line, Bridget, is too many times our prayers man-centered. We start with us rather than him. And we need to seek God's face before we seek his hand. We call it scripture-fed, spirit-led, worship-based prayer, you know. And I often say this way, that if all you ever do is seek God's hand, you may miss his face. But if you seek his face, he will open his hand. And so we got to learn to pray the way Jesus told us to pray. And that's where prayer is more than just therapeutic. It becomes transformational in our lives.
Is that why asking repentance is so important as we pray?
Yeah, again, I think in the model prayer, it starts with what I call reverence, our Father who art in heaven. But then the next step is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that really is a response to God that involves surrender and yieldedness and confession. In fact, I often say that I don't even know what to pray about until I've worshiped well and surrendered completely. Mm. And then I'm really in the right frame of mind to pray biblically.
So then how does that, you know, we've gone through these steps pretty quickly, and the last step of these four is being spiritually contagious. You know, people kind of want to be around us, or we just kind of, it's one of those things where as you're talking, scripture just kind of flows out of you almost, isn't it?
It really is. And again, we got to understand the early church where they turned the world upside down. It all happened in the midst of crisis, right? And they were under the oppression of a Roman government and emperors that make all of our political leaders look like angels in comparison, right? Mm. And yet Peter says, honor the emperor, live lives of honor, lives of love. And that's where we've got to understand the gospel is even more contagious when we understand the power of it in the midst of even a very difficult, crisis-filled context.
Well, you know, one of the words jumps out at me here in your subtitle when you talk about renewal, because I think in crisis, you feel worn down, you feel beat down, you feel discouraged often. But how do we get to the place where even if we're still in the midst of that, there can be a season of renewal, even if our situation doesn't change necessarily?
Yeah, again, that's where we've just really got to come to the Lord. You know, I was thinking this morning early about Hebrews 4, where it tells us that we come to a Savior who in every way has been tested as we are, and he sympathizes with our weaknesses, and we do feel weak. But in every way, he has been tempted yet without sin, and so with confidence, we draw near to a throne. You think about power, but it's a throne of grace. And I would say God has tailor-made grace for everything we face, Bridget, and we've received mercy and grace in our time of need. And so I'm just grateful in the midst of crisis. I have a Savior who understands the pain, the struggle, et cetera. I come to his throne where he's ruling, but he's given me grace in the midst of it all. But he's given me grace so that I may be on mission with him as a representative and an ambassador of his life-changing gospel.
I also know that we have friends right now that are going, boy, that sounds good, but I'm in the midst of it right now. We don't know what that deal is, health, family issues, who yeah. knows what it is. And they're like, I wish I had started here, but I didn't. And sometimes it really does take maybe a few days, maybe a few weeks for us to say, oh no, I've forgotten to bend my knee on this topic. Now's the day to start though, isn't it?
It really is. And again, the Lord's always calling us to seek him. You know, like the Psalm says, pour out your heart before him. And you know, one of the things I realized in the crisis I mentioned earlier is I was angry. I was mad at God. Mm. And I remember I told him that. And it's like he said, well, I've known that the whole time. I'm glad you finally came to terms with it, right? And I think sometimes we just don't realize how much God understands about what we're dealing with. And we just have got to pour out our hearts and align our soul and our focus with him. And that's where renewal really can be kickstarted again in our lives.
How to Pray in a Crisis, a Four-Step Guide to Renewal. Daniel Henderson, the author. I just was wondering if you could lead us in a time of prayer as well as we close out our time, especially for that person who says, I am mad at God and I haven't been able to pray. Would you help them?
Yes, I'd be glad to. So, Father, in Jesus' name and by your Holy Spirit, we come and we thank you for your amazing grace, your mercy toward us. Thank you that you understand our weaknesses, our struggles. And I pray that that message would resonate in the heart of that person right now, where things seem so dark and so hard that they, like I did, would put their eyes on a Savior who endured the cross, suffered the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God and is able to enable us to walk in his steps, full of grace, full of mercy, and thank you for the supernatural strength. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let that message resonate today in that listener, and may they indeed be on mission with you in a fresh and new way for the sake of the gospel, reaching those who have no hope as we demonstrate the hope of our Savior. And we pray this in his name and for his kingdom. Amen. Amen.
Daniel, thank you for joining us. Again, these crisis, these seasons in our life, they're to make us more like Jesus. And once we see that perspective, Amen. I think it'll help us. It doesn't make it any easier, but I think it does help us, doesn't it?
It sure does. Yeah. Sometimes we think God's not answering our prayers, but if we're becoming more like Jesus, He's answering our prayers.